So a guy goes up to heaven. And he comes before God. And God says, I'm sorry, you don't belong here because as far as I can see, you gave no tzedakah. You didn't give to the poor. You didn't give to Israel. Worst of all, you didn't even give to your synagogue. This is God talking, it's not me. The man says, listen, I'm a very wealthy man. God says, I know. He says, I'll write you a check. And God says, no, up here, we only accept receipts. One of the things that we have a hard time believing is something that we always say, which is you can't take it with you. We hold on to what we have because somehow it gives us a sense of security, even though we know that, as the Midrash tells us, everyone is born like this, as if to say, I have a lot to grab in this world, and everyone dies with their hands open, as if to say, there's nothing I can take with me. We know that's true, but still it's hard for us to accept. But here's the paradox. While it is true that the things you have in life you can't take with you after you die, the people who die you can take with you while you're alive. In this morning's parsha, all of Israel is about to be liberated. And what do? They go around Egypt and they collect gold and silver, because apparently there's a lot to buy in the desert. So they're collecting all this stuff, but not Moshe. Moshe doesn't go around collecting gold and silver. Ve'ikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef. Moses goes to collect the bones of Joseph. And he does it because ki hishbia, ki hashbea hishbia et b'nei Yisrael. Now that phrase, hashbea hishbia, all you have to do is say it once. The doubling of the phrase usually is for some kind of emphasis. It's like Joseph made them swear and swear. And Rashi says here, what it really means is Joseph knew that when he said to his brothers around him as he was dying and to his children, I want you to promise to carry my bones up from Egypt, that they wouldn't be there when the children were liberated. So he had to make them promise to carry the promise down through generations. Hashbeah hishbeah, make the next generation promise, and the next generation, and the next generation, until the day comes when we are liberated, and then they'll take my bones and bring me back to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. Think about that. Moses, hundreds of years later, fulfills a promise because Joseph had the foresight to say, this is not a promise for one generation. It's a promise that has to go on until it is fulfilled. So all the generations in Israel remembered that promise. They carried Joseph with them, metaphorically, until the day that they could carry Joseph with them, literally. Until the rabbis tell us Joseph's bones were carried in an aron, in an ark, right next to the Ark of the Tablets. And the two would go side by side through the desert. And when someone would ask, what's in those arks? Israel would answer, the person in this ark fulfilled the words in this one. We get to do that too. Sometimes we emulate the behavior of the Israelites and all we chase is gold. But at our best, we emulate the behavior of Moses. And we carry the memory and the promise of our ancestors through the generations. If we didn't, you wouldn't be here this morning. After all, we're here this morning not because only of what our parents and grandparents did, but because of what their grandparents did, and their grandparents, and their grandparents. Hashvea Hishvea, the promise going back generations and generations. And in each generation, it has to be renewed. And someone has to carry the bones of Yosef all over again. I knew that this morning was really a service of song and not of words. So I just wanted to give you that message and to end it with a story about words and song. In the last century, there was a very fearsome and very learned professor who taught at the Jewish Theological Seminary of America named Shaul Lieberman. Lieberman grew up in Eastern Europe, and he was an Illui, a prodigy. And he grew into perhaps the most distinguished, the most learned, the most formidable Talmud scholar of the 20th century. A brilliant genius. Not always an easy man, but a genius. And one of the reasons why he wasn't such an easy man was he grew up in this vast Talmudic culture that surrounded him in Eastern Europe, and in his lifetime, he saw it all destroyed. His family and the families around him killed, and he was lucky to have escaped. One night, Professor Lieberman, who everybody, I am told, he passed away just before I came to the seminary, but if you speak to people at the seminary, everybody was afraid of Professor Lieberman. Everybody. One night he was walking in the halls of the seminary and he heard from inside one of the rooms of one of the students that they were chanting, they were singing the words of the Talmud. And it reminded him of the way people used to chant it in Eastern Europe when he was a boy. So he stood, he writes this essay, the only personal essay, all of his essays are scholarship. This is the only personal essay I believe he ever wrote. He said he stood outside the door and he listened to that student chant Talmud. And he stood there for a long time until finally it stopped. So he knocked at the door. And the student said, come in. It was now late at night and Professor Lieberman was at the door, which terrified him. I'll tell you how much it terrified him. I will insert one other story about Professor Lieberman while I'm telling this one. This is what he was like. He mastered the entire Talmud, knew it all by heart. All of its many, many, many volumes. Once he saw one of his students whom he hadn't seen in 20 or 30 years, he had a photographic memory, remembered him, of course, said, what are you doing here? The student said, I'm getting my PhD, my doctorate, Professor Lieberman. Lieberman said, really? In what? He said, in Bible. Lieberman said, shh. Such a little book. That was Lieberman. So he knocks at this student's door, and the student says, come in, and there's Professor Lieberman. The student leaps to his feet. He's terrified. And Professor Lieberman said, I heard you were chanting, and I just wondered, did you stop because you had a difficulty? Is there something I can help you with, something I can explain? He said, no, I just grew tired. It was late. And Professor Lieberman said, I want you to know that it sounded just like it used to sound when I was a boy. And he closed the door, and he writes at the end of the essay, I know that as long as in this new land, people can still sing the words of our tradition like that, our tradition will continue. It didn't look like that. Wherever we grew up, but as long as we can sing the words of our tradition in a new land, as long as we can carry with us Atzmot Yosef, our ancestors, their lessons. And just as Professor Lieberman suddenly realized, the song, the story, the tradition will continue. Moses took the literal bones of Yosef. We take his spiritual legacy. And in a new land, in a new key, we still sing their songs. Shabbat Shalom.